Hey you, it's me, Barney from Playtime. Remember, I promised I'd explain Playtime's awesome new diaper bags to you if you promised to go check them out. You haven't returned any of my calls, so this is my last resort. Playpacks are a multi-handle backpack diaper bag made from high-quality waterproof nylon by the folks at Playtime. Playpacks are able to fit up to 6 adult diapers, with room to spare, and with their wide, reinforced main compartment, they stay open on their own during changes. Plus, if you're an overpacker like me, the Playpack has you covered with oversized elastic and interior pockets, as well as insulated cup holders. And they're not just good for diapers. With their inner zippers and front net pockets, they're the perfect size for school, work, or outdoor activities. I'll never need another bag again. Choose from a bunch of different designs, from adorable dino and sailor patterns to more discreet baby blue or blackout designs. These functional diaper bags will have you feeling super cute, whilst making sure you're always prepared for a change wherever you are. Well, I've upheld my end of the bargain. Now go check out Playtime's Playpacks and see which one's for you. Please, don't let me down. The entire Royal Navy is out looking for me. Welcome to the Big Top. I am your host, Barney, and today I am joined by the softest, squishiest, cuddliest, and crinkliest little puppy, JC. JC creates some of the most immersive and fun visual posts depicting his adventures in a cute and wholesome way that not many others are, so I sat him down to talk all about little puppy space and how we can build the confidence to be our true selves. If you get the chance, do please rate and review this podcast. It really, really helps, and if you don't, the Babadook will get you. Today the circus is in Harrington Park, New Jersey, and I invite you to join me as we go under the Big Top. Oh my gosh, have you got mitts on both hands?
I do, yes.
Oh, those are amazing. Okay, I tried to buy mittens like that, and I accidentally only bought the straps that they came with, so I didn't get any mittens. I just got the straps to like lock them on. But those ones are amazing. They're like big and poofy, and they have little puppy paws on them.
Yeah, so this is, I got these from Etsy. They're from a shop called Chilly Little Shop Pet. They do ABDL gear, including extra thick mittens like these. These are extra thick, padded, made out of fleece, so they're really warm and cozy. And they're all customizable, like the colors, the prints, they're all customizable. And obviously I got them with paws and my puppy colors. So, and they're lockable as well. This is optional, but yeah. And they're actually surprisingly very affordable. It was only like $40, I think, for everything. And it's all custom too. And it was so fast.
That is so awesome. Yes. Okay, I definitely want to get something like that.
Yeah.
They're so perfect. Also, they're like, because they've got the puppy paws on them, they're a real perfect, like, perfectly in between pup and little.
Exactly.
And I love that. And anything that's like super like fluffy is perfect for me, because I mean it's easy to go with clowning.
It is, and it's so fun doing this clappy. Arfie.
Aww.
Arfie.
That's amazing. Okay, so my little bro's pup name is Jace, which I think is from Magic the Gathering. Are you always just JC, or is it Jace?
JC is good, yeah.
Okay.
Although, it's true that I also took it from Magic the Gathering.
Did you really? Okay, I was hoping I got that right. So in my head, I keep, like, saying Jace in my head and confusing the two and whatever. Okay, I'm sure you're going to say, like, oh, well, you should be padded and then you wouldn't have to take pee breaks, but Yeah, well, I just like to have a break, and then sometimes I get bullied into putting padding on. And
yeah, I know. I've listened to all the podcast episodes. I heard you get bullied by Bro Sitter. Yeah.
Hey, I didn't get bullied. He was just... He's just a meanie.
And that episode was great. He totally hypnotized you, had you under his spell. I mean, I love his work too, but
he's just so good at it. Like, there's only a few people like that where their voice, I'm like, they could tell me anything. I could listen to them do anything, and they could tell me to do anything, and I would probably do it.
Yeah,
he has like a dangerous voice. I wish that I had some power like that I could wield, Because it feels like a superpower to me.
It does. And but as I understand it, he did a lot of training to get to that voice.
Yeah, and, that kind of surprised
me. It's actually surprising because when he was just like giving his normal voice, it was very like high-pitched, like I hate to say like stereotypical gay voice. And then he busts out this, you know, Daddy Dom voice. I'm like, oh my God, I would never have imagined that switch.
I can't wait for him to hear us talking about how... Oh, I'm sure I'll get into big trouble. Okay, I really wanted to ask you actually about... You made a post like ages ago now, but it really stuck with me because I guess maybe I had never really considered... it was about your coming out experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I really wanted to ask you about that because I thought that was so... Just the way you spoke about it, it's such a brave and monumental thing to do, especially when you have to do it for family. And yeah. I wanted to get your story on how that was for you because I imagine it was considerably more difficult than a lot of people.
It was very tough. I knew I was gay since I was young, since I was like... probably 12 or maybe sure, even younger, yeah. 11. There was never, I never questioned it. I had never had any interest in girls whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I knew from the very beginning. And it was a very difficult time to come out in America. Even in the 90s where, you know, even I was living in New Jersey and California at the time, very liberal states. But still, you know, gay was used as a slur everywhere in schools. Like,
yep.
You know, it was the era of like kids saying, that's so gay. And like, you know, saying anything, like the smallest things that was dumb.
Actually, gay. I remember that Hillary Duff did, because she was big at the time, and she did like an ad, one of those like, you know, PSA things.
Yeah.
And exactly. It was like her in a shop with two girls. She said, that top is so gay. And she says, you know, you really shouldn't say that. That is cute though.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that ad very well as well. And a few other celebrities did it. And
yeah, because everyone said that. I remember like as a kid, I must have been 11 or maybe 12 or something. And an adult said to me, you know that you shouldn't say that, like, to mean something is bad. Mm-hmm. And my response was, oh, I don't mean it's actually homosexual. That's fine. It's just also, and they kind of looked at me and were like, okay, so you know it's bad? Why? Just think about it for a sec. Think about it for a sec.
Yeah, and I said it too, just so that I wouldn't be like outed randomly at school and mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, every time I said it, I would feel this like tinge in my mind. I'm like, this guilt. And but thankfully after high school was over, I was able to slowly come out to like my friends, and I experienced my first taste of, you know, gay freedom, if you will, in college. Mm-hmm. Where I, you know, I didn't have to worry about being outed to my parents, and you know, I you know, joined the college LGBTQ clubs and got to know a lot of people. So that was my first step coming out. I told my younger sister first. That was like, I don't know, 10 years ago now at this point. And I told like my coworkers at work and, you know, other acquaintances. I saved my family. I really delayed it. I saved my family all the way until the end, which was 6 months ago. Yeah. And it was really tough because, I had to come out to them in Korean because, I mean, they've lived in America for some time now, but their English is still a bit choppy. And I don't know if they would have understood it fully if I told them in English. So, you know, coming out to them in Korean, which is my native language as well. I was born in Korea, but I moved here when I was really young. So my Korean isn't perfect either. But I had to, you know, formulate it really nicely for them in Korean to get the message across. And it was tough. I told my mom first, intending to tell my dad later. But my mom went into hysterics and my dad overheard, and the news just ended up breaking like that. So yeah, they were not accepting at first. But after they had like one day to, you know, to take in the news, they were very understanding of it, and they were basically telling me, you know, why didn't you tell us sooner? You know, you know, I wish you hadn't gone through like 20 years of suffering on your own, basically. Mm. And I want to say like, I'm very lucky in that regard because Korea still to this day is not a super welcoming place for LGBTQ mm-hmm. people. I want to say it's like 50%. Like a lot, I think, you know, with a lot of the culture that Korea has been exporting recently, like they're seen as this like super modern, high tech, you know, country. And that's very true. You know, Korea's advanced so fast in such a short amount of time. But in terms of like culture norms, like that's still catching up. And a lot of it yeah. is still rooted in how like ancient Korea used to be. Mm-hmm. But it's changing. Like younger people are very openly accepting of it. It's just the, you know, the boomers and the religious folk are very adamant yeah. that homosexuality is wrong. There's no way it's a foreign thing. It's a Western thing. And yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, was it almost harder to do it in Korean actually then? Because you're kind of, I imagine you've never formulated that sentence before.
Yeah. I mean, I've never talked to anyone in Korean, right?
Right.
So it was very hard. But I had, you know, I had a long time to organize my thoughts. Like mm-hmm. I chose a specific day where I would, you know, come out to them, and I had a, you know, like a outline, general outline of how to explain things. So it was hard, but I think I prepped enough for it to be easy as possible. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of stories of how other Koreans came out online, like some tips and tricks here and there. I think in the end it worked out. Like I told them about my boyfriend and they were so accepting about that.
Oh, and that's great.
I think it helps that my boyfriend is cute, actually. Yeah.
They have a problem with it until they see the boyfriend and then they go, oh no, now we get it. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so then that's awesome. I was speaking to Donkey Dope a few episodes back and he was talking about how his coming out experience, because he had a very religious mother, and he was just saying that he kind of needed to give her a second to wrap her head around it and how much that had done for their relationship. And I think it's really, really wonderful when, I think a lot of the time we sort of don't give our parents the benefit of the doubt. We think they're gonna, I don't know, react worse than they actually do, because of course they're your parent and they just want you to be happy. And
yeah, and exactly. And I don't think I gave them the benefit of the doubt. That's on me. It's just that over the years, you know, you just hear about Koreans reacting badly, or you know, them like disowning you, or like forcing you into straight marriages. Like all of that's still happening in Korea. It's not safe enough for Koreans to come out. You know, your career gets ruined. Your friends will stop talking to you. It's like America mm-hmm. 20 years ago, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and actually, I mean, that's a good frame of reference, because it wasn't very long ago that the whole Western world was the same.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But I mean, I don't think people who don't go through it can ever really understand how difficult it is. Like, it's such a personal... You really are, like, bearing yourself and doing it to the like your family, and it's such a, I don't know, it's so frightening. You really have no defense, and there's nothing worse than somebody reacting badly to you saying, this is who I am, this is me, you know.
So
I think it's really wonderful that your parents' reaction, that's really nice. I like that there was a moment of hysteria, though. Just a bit of drama, you know.
It was. And I really tried to reassure them that, like, nothing is changing. I'm still your son. You know, like, my life isn't really impacted by this. Their mm-hmm. biggest concern was that it would have, like, a negative impact on my life. You know, right. in terms of, like, my career path, or just, you know, my general mm-hmm. way of living. And I tried my best to reassure them that, yeah, it's like, actually, yeah. mom and dad, you're the only one who don't know about this. And my life is progressing fine. So
as somebody who straddles little and puppy space in like such a, I don't want to say masterful way, because it's not like a skill. It's, you know, everyone is different and everyone does it differently and enjoys it in their own way. But you have such a like, I don't know, the way you do it is so creative. Like, I love like that there's a visual and then there'll be a little script that goes with it in each of your posts. And it's just so sweet and cute and fun and engaging. I want to know how like that started for you. How did like, I mean, and I guess kink in general and how those worlds kind of collided. But I mean, we've gone from putting off coming out to our parents as much as possible to having this vibrant, vibrant life and online presence that's like just so, so wonderful to see. How did that even begin?
Yeah, well, it's like 30 years of repression and now the creative juices are all flowing. Yeah, the walls are down and like everything I had bottled inside me is just coming out.
Just floodgates open. Yes. Was it that it was like a recent thing though?
No, so I've been in, I mean, Kink started in my tweens and like, like the earliest memory of like something kink related is probably when I was like, I don't know, 10-ish. Just like like coinciding with the onset of puberty. First kink, I mean, I didn't realize it was kinky at the time, but I can trace my current kinks back to that time period. First, it was like undies, like briefs, tidy whities specifically. Mm-hmm. And then I had like fun, like imagining that I was like still wetting my bed. Like I wasn't an actual bedwet or anything, but I had somehow, it was fun to imagine that like, you know, I was peeing my pants or something.
Do you think that's like a loss of control thing for you or?
I would say it's largely, I want to say it's connected to like embarrassment or like humiliating stuff.
Yep. Which I totally get.
Yeah. And it's like
my whole thing. Yeah.
It's like embarrassing that I'm still, you know, I still can't use the potty properly or that's how it started. And then it started with undies and then it went towards diapers. When I was probably like 18, 19-ish, when I got to college, I was able to fully explore my kinks more. So, you know, I was able to buy my own undies and diapers at the time, which is great. I've been in doing kink on my own for a very long time. I had like a very small social media thing, like just, you know, like kind of doing myself in secret. The online stuff really kind of blossomed a year ago, I want to say, when I got it.
Which is crazy, by the way. It's a year ago. Like, honestly, if anyone looking at your stuff, it looks like you have been perfecting this for years. Like, it's there's so much that goes into it. It's so cool.
Thank you. I do appreciate that a lot. I started, I made the decision to put myself out there more a year ago, largely because I was in a miserable state at the time in terms of my job and like just like where my life was like going overall. I wanted to get more friends in kink spaces and like talk to like-minded people more. And I thought, okay, well, if I don't put myself out there and advertise, like how am I going to be able to talk to these cool people around me? So that was kind of my gateway into, you know, my online presence, if you will. In terms of my content, the first foremost goal is to make people happy. Like my goal is to make someone smile. It's, you know, like the likes and the followers are nice and all, but it's like who cares at the end of the day? Like when I die, nobody's going to remember me for how many likes I had. You know, so
it can't take the likes with you.
Yeah, like is it going to be engraved on my gravestone? No. So it's, you know, it's at the end of the day, like I want people to smile when they see my content. So that's like step one of, you know, where I get my ideas from. You know, first question I ask is this going to make someone smile? And of course, I have to enjoy it too. Like I'm not going to be doing a job that I don't like obviously I enjoy taking these photos and creating these little scenes and little scripts. As far as the content itself, it's stuff I daydream about, or it's like, oh, what would be cute to, you know, like stuff from my memories, so childhood memories. There would be like a portion of like a childhood memory that I, you know, try to capture in today's photo.
Totally. Like it feels like a like a really alive, well, okay, this is going to sound stupid. I was going to say like JC feels like a really alive character, but of course he is because he's you. but I mean, like you, really, it is like we're watching like a little chapter of his life, you know, in like mm-hmm. a little storybook or a little like TV episode or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And there's no continuity, but but yes, it's there. I like to call them like vignettes. They're like little mm-hmm. snippets of my life that I like to share.
Also, I don't know if you do this deliberately, but sometimes the same post is slightly different. Like sometimes the captions are slightly different on like Instagram versus Twitter. And so I like to always check both because sometimes you'll put something in one that isn't in the other.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah. And I think some captions are, you know, I like to tell a story and like sometimes, you know, sometimes I put the captions directly in the picture. Sometimes mm-hmm. that doesn't work so well with like the kind of message I'm trying to get across. So I might differ it a bit. But I think there's like a similar thread going across all the posts, I want to say. But
yeah, no, it's I like that it's always a very simple structure. Like it's always like JC's trying to learn something new. And, you know, he's always kind of doing it, trying his hardest and either doing it wrong and daddy's sort of like, oh dear. Or it's like he's trying to get away with something and then gets caught. And I like that that's very much, there's so many like play scenarios revolve around those things because of course it's something we all experienced growing up. So we all kind of have an idea of what that's like.
Exactly. And I'm glad people are catching on to that kind of message.
It's nice to see him try and fail and try again, and you know, it's cool.
Yeah, it's like it's like a little puppy, you know, you know learning, like you said, and like maybe like misinterpreting things slightly, like
that's the thing as well. Like it's actually funny. Like I'm trying to think, there was one that had something to do with, I think JC made PT or something like that. Oh, what was it? He tried to give daddy like warm pee or something. I'm getting it wrong now. I can't remember what it was, but that one really, really made me laugh. Like it was just
okay. I mean, that's like I don't think I've made a post like that, but although that's something I've considered. So I did a post, maybe you're thinking of the one where I like made him coffee.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and I was making him coffee, but it was just all in the cup was just all milk and sugar.
Oh yes, that was it. Sorry, my mind immediately goes to pee. Yes, that was it. It was just all milk and sugar.
Yeah, so the idea behind that was, you know, like me growing up, like kids don't want to drink coffee. But when I was growing up, like it was fun to like try to be adult and like mm-hmm. have like some coffee because that's what adults drink. And like, oh, I want to be an adult. And I would, when I was drinking my milk, you know, I would always ask my mom or dad, hey mom, could you, you know, give me some of your coffee into my cup? And they would take this little teaspoon and of their coffee and like put it into my giant cup of milk. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm having coffee milk. So yeah, that's where that came from.
I actually, like, nothing to do with anything, but I remember the first time I tried coffee and I'd never had it before. And I really wanted to be like seen as an adult and like a grown up. And I didn't know what, like how you were supposed to drink it. I just had it black. And I remember swallowing this thing and being like, and all the adults are looking at me and I'm like, yes, good coffee. And I finished that. I sat there and finished the whole thing.
Oh,
everybody knew. Everyone was like, jeez, this kid's really committing to pretending he knows what he's doing.
I mean, I enjoy my coffee still with a lot of milk. Like I prefer half coffee, half milk with some sweetener.
So basically exactly that, right?
Yes.
Just sweetened milk.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm interested in where like the line blurs for you between kink versus identity, which is something I'm very interested in because like a lot of people will sort of get on their high horse about, you know, oh, certain kinks don't belong in certain spheres and blah, 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 blah. And especially when talking about something like being padded or, you know, wearing a puppy hood or something like that, which is just as much about how you feel and how you present yourself than it is about doing anything sexual. So where does that kind of line blur for you?
Great question. So I will say that I want to say like 95% of this for me is like non-sexual. And it's very much a lifestyle for me. Like, I want to say I'm in little puppy space like 24/7 just because that's who I am as a person. That doesn't mean I'm going around like barking at my coworkers or like crinkling around, you know, at the grocery store. It just means like that's how I feel 24/7. Like, I'm living my life like I'm a little puppy boy. And like, I, so like when people, when, so a lot of times when people say they need to work to get into like a headspace, like, I'm confused by that because I feel like I'm in just, it's just who I am naturally. Like, I don't need to put on a diaper or a puppy hood to feel little. Although it helps a lot. Like, look at me right now. Like, I'm dressed fully out and I'm padded. I have a, you know, a cap
on. An adorable sleeper. with the bell tie, with the bow.
Yes. And
yeah, headspace for me was something that was really hard to access because I think it was very secondary to how I saw myself. And I kind of, it was almost like I was playing the part and it felt kind of awkward and silly and embarrassing. And then when I finally was able to, it's vulnerable as well. You really have to like surrender yourself to the role and just kind of letting your mind switch off and just enjoy kind of being in the zone, which I think can kind of feel like an improvisation exercise almost. But yeah, when I finally got that, it really changed things for me. I really, really enjoyed it. But I totally, yeah, I'm definitely one of those people who has to kind of take a second to get there. And having all the accoutrement really helps, like being padded, having my puppy hood. I think it's more about how it makes people treat you than it makes me feel. As in, as soon as someone can see that I'm in little mode, immediately they start calling me kiddo and stuff like that. And that really reinforces the whole thing.
And it's true that it's hard for me to let go or be open in spaces with other people. Even when I'm, you know, fully dressed, like, and that's just me being like a little shy boy. You know, it's
which is perfect.
Yeah. It's,
ooh, woo.
Yeah. it's hard. Like, I don't know, after all these years of like bottling up my emotions and like, and, part of this is like Asian culture, like being enforced on me, where like Asians are told to like kill their emotions and just, you know, study or work. You know, after, you know, growing up like that, it's hard for me to just open up in public, which is why, you know, I struggle a lot in public spaces when, like, when I go out to events. You know, online is a different story where I can control the narrative as much as I want to. But, you know, I am going out to more events now and trying and slowly becoming more comfortable around friends and acquaintances.
Oh, that's awesome. So. Yeah, I think the one thing, and I think there's a bigger conversation to be had here about different kinds of events, because ABDL events specifically, I've always found to be the most chilled, relaxed, open atmospheres. And nobody's really drawing attention to what you're wearing because we're all already on the same page and it's just normal. And so you can just kind of hang out. It was definitely the most nerve-wracking, scariest thing I had ever done when I first did it. But very quickly, it became my favorite thing. So I'm so glad. I know it's also not for everyone. It's not like there's any right or wrong way to enjoy yourself in any kind of kink or social sphere. But it's really cool to see when somebody kind of lights up and gets to relax and enjoy just being themselves in that sphere. So I'm so happy that's happening for you.
It's magical, really. And for, you know, for any of your followers or listeners who are listening to this and are like hesitant to go to an event, please try it at least once. And, you know, if you don't like it, you know, you can, you know, wait another year before you try it out or something, but please do try it out. It's really a magical moment.
And you can always, this is the thing, you can always, you know, leave. You can always come in, kind of see what it's about, and mm-hmm. then go, this isn't for me. You can always coordinate with someone you know and just make sure you've yeah. been and said hi and made sure you felt comfortable, and then you can go. There's no obligation. And in my experience, it's always the things we don't do that we regret, because yes. if you didn't do it, you'd regret not going and wonder what it might have been like. Whereas if you went, even if you didn't enjoy it, you would just leave and you go, well, okay, at least I know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's really good advice. Okay, let's quickly go to break because I'm not padded and already I need to pee. It's always, it's like... I will not be bullied into padding up.
Do it. Well, this is my daddy dumb voice.
That's a very scary daddy.
Do it. Kiddo. Pad up.
We'll see.
Okay. Hey, little one. It's Barney from Playtime. Now, I know you like playing pretend, whether that's being a superhero or being big. But all before lights out because you've got a bedtime. Well, what if I told you you get to play pretend whenever you like, wherever you are? Storytime is a weekly event with a bedtime story read to you by Little Casey on the events channel in the Playtime Playground Discord server or on Twitch at Playtime Co. Each week, delve into tales of adventure and friendship with short stories designed to help you let go and enjoy a world of wonder. And don't worry if you miss out, Storytime will also be recorded so you can listen wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Storytime is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Discord and on Twitch. Come play pretend.
Okay, he's back. Okay, I decided not to pad up this time because I know, shocking, but you know, sometimes I just don't feel it and I didn't feel it today.
Okay,
and
bye.
I allow myself to be bullied.
I don't feel like it anymore. I don't feel like doing this podcast anymore.
I will not be bullied or peer pressured or this is my podcast and I can bat up if I want to. I know now I'm going to get cancelled on Twitter for not wearing my tie piece. It's well, okay. Do you know what? I mean, if I have an accident, it's on me.
Yes. I mean, okay. So like there are people who I think like you don't have to be padded to be a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there are, there's oddly like a group of people I want to say online who like really push this narrative about like how you have to be padded to be little. And like, okay, well, you can be little in wearing tidy whities or printed undies too, or just wearing other cute right. clothes and or pull-ups. Or so it's like, you know, this there's this weird focus of like trying to define like really? Other people trying to define, you know, what how you need to be as a little. It's
that
like,
annoys me so
please
much.
Please don't do that. It's like it ruins other people's little spaces. So,
well, because, I mean, you find it everywhere you go. You find it in pups. Like, I mean, that I've seen so much, like pups telling mm-hmm. each other how you have to, it has to be sexual for you, or it has to be, you have to be a total, you know, dog when you're in headspace. You have to have a hood. You have to have this. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right kind of tail. And it's like, well, you can just be a dog. Or like you can just be your own pup and you can do what you want and like enjoy it the way you want to enjoy it. Yeah, just I don't know why anyone feels the need to police how anyone else enjoys something. We're all different. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to experience. Okay, actually, this is like, I mean, I haven't really encountered this, only one or two people, but even clowns have been like, you have to have a certain kind of makeup. You can't have a beard. Blah, blah. It's like, are really? You kidding me? Like, come on. Like, that's just so stupid. Also, like, bitter clowns are the best. But either way, it's just like, I don't understand why trying to control anyone else's enjoyment of something is important to anyone. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Kinky freedom.
Right. Yeah. Just like, and also bear in mind that the thing of today, like, is always evolving. So, mm-hmm. like, there is a huge cultural significance to the origins of leather. As opposed yeah. to something like rubber, which is a lot more modern. And it's the same with pups and pup hoods and what, you know, a classic pup hood looks like. And it's the same with like Little Gear and the ABU characters and that kind of thing. Like these things will constantly evolve, and what is prevalent and what is the way most people are preferring to do things. I mean, even just like technology evolves, like adult diaper technology is constantly evolving. And so what someone wears or how they enjoy it is not going to be defined by, you know, you and what you think. It's going to be defined by what people want to do and how we all end up moving on from the last thing. So
clap, clap, clap.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk. Okay. So we spoke a little bit about identity and, cause I really like that idea. Like kink for me was kind of the first moment that I felt pride. It was really like this is my identity. And it's not about, to me, pride is the difference between putting yourself in a box with a label or choosing to, you know, wave this flag. And I think that's a really important distinction that a lot of people don't understand. And so there is definitely an identity that comes with that because it's part of who you are. Do you think that you would ever, sorry, I'm always burping on this podcast. Do you think that you would ever come out to people as a puppy? And when I say people, I'm nudging towards saying your parents one day.
I mean, speaking of Pride, I did go to New York City Pride this past summer in my puppy cap.
Yay!
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, that's as open as I can get in public. But would I tell my parents about my puppies? I don't think so.
Okay, maybe that's an unfair question, because it's also like, how much is that something that's they're going to understand at all? But I guess what I mean is, do you think it's something that you would maybe one day feel or want to feel comfortable bringing into a more vanilla place? Do you know what I mean?
So there are certain parts of me, I think, that I already do bring in. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like my room is very little themed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hide this. Like my parents, I have bed sheets right now that are very little, I think, but also...
Wait, what are they?
Justify it as like adult. Like, I feel like I toe the line between adult and little very well.
Wait, what is...
Where it's like...
What is the bed sheet? What is the bed sheet?
I can show you the...
Show me. Wait, is it Moomin's?
It's like a pirate... it's like Treasure Island, almost. Pirate ships and, you know, sea monsters.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
But the other side is technically adult-themed. It's, like, nautical. So I have... you know, plausible deniability.
Sorry, you're making, I'm such a big kid. Like, you were making a point and I was like, show me.
Yeah, and like, they've seen my footy jammies hanging in my closet. Mm-hmm. And they see my plushies. And I actually still sleep in my baby blanket that I have had since I was like, you know, 6 years old.
Wow.
Like, they know all of this. And like, clearly they haven't made the connection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they know a lot of my little stuff already. And,
well, and I guess that's also as much as you would ever share, right? It's like the rest is not for them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that I think it's on a spectrum. There's like little stuff like that. And then there's more like, would I ever show them my collection of, you know, naughty toys? Absolutely not.
right. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, a fine
line. Do I
really
want to show them my puppy tail? No.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's a line between when something is just not anyone's business. But I love that incorporating just these, like, parts of you into the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by identity, or how I'm living this, like, kind of 24/7. Mm. It's like, actually, like, even my regular work clothes, for example, you know, they're actually all they're all boy size clothes. Like, it helps me be like think like I'm just like a little boy. Mm-hmm. Living life.
Yeah.
Like all of my undies are, you know, tidy whities or printed undies that, you know, I wear just on a regular basis. And my sweaters, my jackets, my everything, they're all boy clothes. Mm. Actually. So yeah, I mean, I don't think people catch on. Like when I wear these sweaters to work, and they're not like silly clothes, they're like work formal. Mm-hmm. Clothes. You know, my coworkers will be like, oh, that's so cute. I'll be like, Thank you. I don't think you know the message behind that, but thank you.
Yeah, but again, it's also not for them. And it's nice when people can validate you in that way by going, oh, that's cute. And it's like, yes, that's all I was going for. Because
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What it means to me is, you know, not important. Okay, so I guess in that thread, like, so much of your output is very much about the fantasy of headspace and scenarios and that kind of thing. And it's often... nope, I just adopted a different accent there. What the hell? It's often... and it's often very wholesome or silly. Where does that kind of line blur for you? Is it all one thing where it's just like... And I guess specifically, like, is there a moment where it becomes, this is now sexy time? Or is it, this is just how I enjoy everything, and there's kind of no distinction between those two things?
Yeah, so I think I said earlier that, you know, like 95% of this is like non-sexual for me. So yeah, like the stuff I put on social media is, I try to be as wholesome as possible. And I went with that because when I feel like there isn't enough wholesome content out there for ABDL and or pups. You know, there's a lot of porn. Twitter is full of porn. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, if you want that or like a diaper crotch shot, if you will, you can go to, you know, 300 other people out there. And I just didn't want to be like just another... Totally. I didn't want to come across as like a porn star, basically. and that's a little harsh. But like, I felt like the world needed more smiles is my point. So, and that's kind of, that somehow like become like my brand, if you will. I've talked to my boyfriend a few times about this. It's like, we joke around that like my stuff is like wholesome softcore. If you will.
Yes, totally. Yes.
It's I'm sure somebody can find something sexy in this particular picture. Mm-hmm. Although it's not like my intent to be sexy. There are some times where I feel like I come very close to crossing the line, or I do cross the line a bit. Even though I don't like overtly show like my genitalia on Twitter. It's like clearly like some poses are more sexier than what I would normally do.
Maybe, but also
like especially in like a jockstrap or harness.
Yeah, but again, everyone's got a different idea of what that is. So like, for example, to me, it just doesn't, jockstrap harness nudity is just like not, you know, my thing. But I really like smiling more as a mission statement. Like as in, it doesn't matter if I'm crossing into that line for someone, because the whole point is still the same. And I quite like that. I quite like that you can really tell when you look at your stuff. Like it is really, there is something really like joyful and whimsical and fun. And
yeah. And to me, it has to be that, or it's, you know, it's like the moment I take myself too seriously on social media, then it's like, like we've lost the point. Yeah. We've lost the narrative. Yeah. You know, it's like, then I'm that means I'm doing this for someone else rather than for myself. So it has to be playful, fun.
Do you live with your boyfriend?
No, although we are looking to get a place very soon, hopefully in the next 6 months sometime. I've been dating my boyfriend now since February 2019. So 3.5 years, 3 3/4.
Okay. I was going to ask, so how much of your day-to-day has kind of just become little space? Because I'm just paying attention to like everything being presented here. And I'm kind of thinking, for me, when I go into little space, it's very much like, and it sometimes is just, oh, this afternoon, I feel like wearing a onesie and padding up and being little. Is that very much like just kind of a normal part of the day to day now?
Yeah, it's a lot of it is headspace. Like I don't even have to be dressed in a onesie to just be in the headspace. It's again, it's like, you know, there are different levels of it. There are times where I'm like fully immersed in little puppy space. Yeah, and then other times it's just like kind of background noise. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm working, for example, there are moments where I would say I get kicked out of headspace when I'm super stressed, like at work, and I need to like be 100 focused on what I'm doing, and I'm like, screw everything else. I can't be little puppy Jacy right now. But when it's normal, or you know, just on a regular, ordinary day, I'm in little puppy mode.
That's awesome. I realized recently as well in my therapy that so much of my, the way that I just choose to live and the way that I deal with things and everything, mm-hmm. Is all about recapturing a very childlike attitude towards everything. And I want to be left alone to be like in my kid mode. And then I will, you know, enter adult mode and do all the adult stuff as fast as possible. So I get to be back in kid mode, which was something I'd never really thought about. I didn't realize that about myself. And then looking back, I kind of go, oh yeah, I kind of see where that is. I've always wanted to do that. I've always thought being adult was kind of boring.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I want to be in little puppy space, you know, fully immersed 24/7. Uh-huh. I just want to be, you know, a little puppy and just do nothing, get pets and huggles and back scratchies or just be a kid and play outside all day. And
would you do it 24/7 if you could, do you think?
Yes. If I won the Powerball, which I didn't yesterday, I would do that. Yes.
Rats next time. Oh, that's cool. I heard about someone who was living 24/7 dog. They were just someone's dog. And it was very, very much like he wakes up in dog mode, goes to sleep in dog mode. You can interact with him, but it's only in dog mode. And that was kind of fascinating to me because I think a lot of ABDLs, especially because there's such a sort of lifestyle element to it, that is the ultimate goal, right? The fantasy would be like to do 24/7. But I was kind of like, wow, people are doing it. People are doing it as dogs. That's cool.
That's a dedication.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to, you know, sacrifice a lot of your other parts of your life, I think, to be able to manage that. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that.
Well, I guess you can also have both, right? I mean, there's no, it's not one or the other. It's like, have all the things you want. And if the thing you want is to immerse yourself fully, go for it. And, you know, I don't know, give adult brain, save some time for adult brain every now and again. But as I now refer to myself every time I do anything, it's like, okay, adult time.
And you know, I mean, we, like my boyfriend and I, we do try to like make like adult stuff. Like we try to approach adult stuff from like a little boy mode, if you will.
Yeah.
Like doing chores, for example.
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's time for little boys to do chores. Like, you know, we're going to be good boys and wash the dishes and do the laundry and clean the house.
Okay, that's adorable.
Pick up our toys and stuff.
Okay, so that's actually like what I need because my like kid brain thinks that everything is boring and doesn't want to do anything that isn't fun. And my adult brain doesn't get to have any fun. And so I kind of want my adult brain to get to have a little more fun and my kid brain to, you know, do stuff sometimes. Like social engagements and errands shouldn't feel like work the same way work is, but it does. And I just want to go back into kid mode, but maybe I can take kid mode with me a little bit and do those things, but make them fun. I don't know why I'm psychoanalyzing myself.
Do it.
Get to the root of your trauma. So wait, is your partner little as well?
Yeah. So, he's also an APDL. He's not really active on social media, so he's a bit more shy. He's shyer than I am somehow. but I mean, he goes to events with me. He's just not active on social media. But yes, he's an APDL.
So what's your dynamic then in little space? Is it more like big bro, little bro, or just two kiddos?
Yeah, it is big bro, little bro. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually the big bro.
No way.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
JC's
a lot of people find it hard to believe, actually, like, including myself sometimes. but it's true. Like my little age, I would say, is like 8 to 12, and then his little age is more like 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And our dynamic is, it started out as big bro, little bro, like I'm a big bro, but I'm like a clumsy little bro. Mm-hmm. I'm a clumsy big bro where, you know, like I try to be big and responsible, but I'm still a little kid myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like some, I screw up here and there little or puppy. Make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as I got more into puppy space, the dynamic became like a little boy and his puppy. So it's like a little boy taking care of his first puppy kind of dynamic. So
that's awesome. Do you sort of jump between the two?
Actually, I don't really separate out my little side and puppy side a lot. It's all just one character for me. So yeah, it's like little pup is, that's what it is. Like there is no big puppy mode or just little boy mode for me anymore. It's just all together.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool. I like would have assumed that there was like a bit of a switch because naturally the dog you would think would be, or the puppy would be sort of the more submissive role in that dynamic, right? Little kid and his puppy.
It is a little, it is more submissive, but I mean, in, when I'm in more puppy, I suppose it's like a spectrum where I'm being fluid in between the two mm-hmm. modes, and you know, we switch a lot, but it's always like it's in the constraints of like little puppy. The submissive part, I think I am a little more submissive in puppy space.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for example, I'm much more open to like taking orders in puppy space, mm-hmm. So
like a good,
it's like JC, hug me, or JC, come here for treats, or you know. So,
yes. Was puppy space something that for you was definitely more of a social thing as opposed to like the little space, which felt more like it was your own? Do you know what I mean? Like, because for me, it was definitely that pup play was something that for me was a way to relate to other people and get to enjoy other people, and it wasn't definitely necessarily about being a puppy specifically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like I can show my, well, puppies, the puppyhood actually allows me to show my face on social media, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah,
you know, before that I used to like post you know, like diaper pics or like yeah. below head posts, and being able to express like all of me is great. So yes, there is definitely a social element to it. And and yeah, actually, you know, I became more social as I became a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I got into puppy, pup play, thanks to, an Instagram friend of mine, Little Pup Max. Maybe you know him.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Yes. Really?
Yeah. He actually introduced me to pup play. It's been exactly a year ago, actually. We started chatting on Instagram mostly about ABDL stuff, and then I saw, you know, his posts, and I thought like, oh my god, pup play looks so cool, I'm really curious about it now. And then he really encouraged me into becoming a puppy, and actually I'm the reason I'm here right now in front of you is thanks to Max. You know, I would not be like out here or on social media without him, I think.
Wow, that's adorable, because he is also adorable, and yeah, I've been following him for a while. Wow, that's super cool. I love when that happens. There are a few people in my life like that who really... And I'm sure, actually, it's always the case of the effect that someone has on you, they will never quite, you know, understand the fullness of. But
yeah, I try to remind him as much as possible.
Yeah, like my friend Little Cassie, he was the first person I ever agreed to meet. And it was, like, huge for me to meet someone like me. Mm-hmm. And he, like, totally blew my mind and stuff. And I remember one time he was like, huh... Yeah, that made a way bigger impression than I realized. I didn't even think about that. And I was like, it's like,
yes.
Kind of changed my life, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Max really changed my life around. Like, if you told me a year ago I would be, you know, in a puppyhood on a podcast with a clown while wearing a weenie cage while padded, I'd be like, get out of my house.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but here I am, and I'm the happiest I've ever been.
So. Yay.
Thank you, Max, if you're listening to this, thank you so much.
Aww. Okay, so we have to wrap up in a sec, but before we do, I, like everybody, gave you homework. Do you have like a positive thing to end on? like a big yay moment?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So the New York City tri-state area, including New Jersey and Connecticut, is currently undergoing like a revival of the ABDL scene. And it's largely thanks to the work of three great ABDL slash pups. And one of them is Max, which is who we spoke about earlier. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram on Little Pup Max. Pup Kenzo, pup underscore Kenzo, who is one of the biggest leaders in the ABDL community. And he's done so many great things for us. He's organizing so many events, like bar events, little parties just for like socializing and so much more. And the other person, Noah Gold.
By
Diaper Days Haze online. Although his Twitter got nuked. I think he's still on Tumblr under Diaper Days Haze. But these three are really like the three, I want to say, little leaders, if you will, of the ABDL revival post-COVID. You know, COVID really shut down a lot of events in New York City. And the Munchies all went private. And now, like, everybody is just coming out into the open again. And there's really an event for everyone. You know, for example, I don't like bar events with, like, loud music. Mm-hmm. You know, Kenzo and his friends have organized like a nice little social party where we just like come to like a little play space and just we are able to just hang out and talk and play with each other. And it's non-sexual too, which is great for, you know, people who are not necessarily looking for that kind of, you know, charged environment. And they're also nice and welcoming. So if you're in the New York City tri-state area, please reach out. And I'm sure you've seen the social media flyers for our events. Please do come out and hang out with us. And we're going to make sure you have a great time.
Yay. Well, that's awesome. Well, I am 2023. I haven't booked it yet, but I am heading to New York and maybe some surrounding states. But all to be organized, and knowing me, it'll be very last minute and I'll arrive at the wrong time.
Will you be going to CapCon by any chance?
I really, really want to go to CapCon. I couldn't make it work this year, so I'm kind of determined, but I've got a lot of things that I want to go to in 2023, so I don't know if the timing will work, because coming to the States, I try to like get everything that I'm doing in the States at the same time, because otherwise it's just like traveling so far and paying so much. But hopefully, yes. I will say tentatively yes, but don't hold me to it. But maybe do, because then maybe I'll actually do it.
Pinky promise.
Okay, so my positive for today is actually going to be someone else in the ABDL community, but a bit different. I just want to plug Draven Navarro, because I couldn't believe it when he followed me, and I was kind of starstruck, just like even like receiving a message from him. I was like, only because he's so open about being ABDL and has contributed so much to its pornographic canon. he's a stripper and adult film model based in Vegas now, I think, who is by all accounts the like sweetest, friendliest dude, and has been a part of so much like creative, fun, pornographic smut. But he's awesome. So go check him out. I can attest to him being a cool dude. You can find him at Draven_Navarro on Twitter and Instagram. JC, thank you so much for talking to me today. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter as at Korean Puppy Boy. I'm also on Instagram as Korean Undies Boy. They're not very creative handles, but they're my kinks at the time. You can find me there.
Awesome. As always, you can find me on Twitter at tstota and on Instagram at the_muckle_stota. So thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to smile more and join me next week as we go under the big top.